Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Ben Hobson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
Today, our guest is hill runner and author Ali Bevan, who joins us to talk about his new book, Broken, which celebrates the rise of the FKT. Hey, Jane, here's another FKT for you. Fastest known tech, right?
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And, it's just a terrible pun. It's related to the half marathon record was smashed at the weekend, and for once it was not a Nike shoe that was being worn by the winner. Kibblewhat Candy ran a 57.32 in the new Adidas Adizero Adios Pros. So there's a bit of a hot take in the world of the shoe wars. There's a new kid on the block.
It is. I read a fascinating article that everyone should go on to runnersworld.com/UK. That's right, isn't it? Yes. And yes. By our very own Kerry McCarthy this morning, and he actually called this a rival to the old swoosh earlier in the year. So I'm not saying that Kerry predicted this, but he was impressed. I think he's the member of the team who's running this shoe, and he's kind of given it his thumbs up. So yeah.
Not to sort of delve too much into the shoes again, because we do, I feel like we spend a lot of time talking about them, but they are very interesting. So they conform to the 40mm rule of foam, which actually when you were for the Alpha Fly launch in New York last year,
yeah.
That was kind of when World Athletics had introduced this rule that you couldn't, prototypes weren't allowed to be used in races and that they had to have a stack height of no more than 40mm. And what's happened is World Athletics actually at the weekend, just on the day that this record was broken, they've changed the rules, which allows prototypes of shoes to be used in all races except the World Athletics Series or the Olympic Games. So that kind of opens up a bit of a sort of a new era, shall we say, whereas I think that when those rules first came in, it was kind of to curtail the dominance of one brand. And I guess now that other brands have caught up, it's kind of okay. But anyway, it's gonna see some records broken. And I think that, yeah, the ongoing debate right whether or not this degree of technology is advantageous or not for the sport is going to continue.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I have mixed feelings because I think when Sarah Hall did that amazing run at the women's elite London marathon, everyone was instantly like, oh, what's she wearing, that shoe's not legal, blah 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 blah. And you kind of think, oh, actually she did one of the most amazing runs I've ever seen in my life, and we're all worrying about what's on her feet. So I do think this whole trainer chat takes away from the skill of the athletes, but I also understand that, you know, in 2021 everyone will be running in platforms, won't they, if there was no regulation?
I mean if they
you've got to have some rules.
If they get rid of the 40 millimeter rule, then absolutely everything's going to go insane. There's just going to be like Inspector Gadget type springs in everything and all sorts of stuff. But
yeah, like a flying shoe, like, you know, those people in like Dubai that are always spinning in the air on those weird things. That's what's coming next.
That's the future. See, predicted here first by Runner's World's Jane Maguire.
Predicted here. Right, like Dubai hoverboard things. But yeah.
How's your running been, Jane?
It's been okay. I have... I took some time off to do some nice, easy running and got a cold. It's, you know, I love winter running. I love running when it's really cold. So once I've got rid of this cold, I'll be kind of back out there enjoying the kind of really easy wintery miles. What about you?
Yeah, it's just been nice. I haven't got any single challenges coming up or planned or set or anything like that. And I'm kind of fine with that. I think it would be nice to, I don't want to give myself the false hope of like training for something not happening. I don't know. I've spoken to a few friends recently about it, and their running is like sort of based around definitely racing and stuff like that. I'm sort of watching them go through the turmoil of something being delayed and then rescheduled and then actually moved and then cancelled. I'm kind of happy that I'm not doing anything like that at the moment, but I am beginning to, and I wasn't a massive racer before, but I am definitely missing the idea that, you know, you try and get yourself in a bit of form for something coming up. That's, yeah, I look forward to something happening. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think at the beginning of the year, I kind of, again, anyone who listened to me rambling on this podcast will have already remembered this, that the beginning of the year, I was like, oh, I'm really over racing. I can't cope with the like 16 week pressure, blah, 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 blah. And I purposely put all my races off. And now I kind of feel similar. I'm kind of like, oh, it's a bit of a shame. I'll probably wait till autumn next year for the world to hopefully be a bit more normal. But I would kind of like, I don't know, I still want to do a triathlon. So maybe 2021's the year of the triathlon for me. Watch this space, everyone.
Well, I mean, this moves quite nicely into our guest this week, Ali Bevan, who's written a book about, I guess, the rise of the FKT, the fastest known time, people attempting to break or set new times for different routes around the country. But anyway, before I explain exactly what he's going to talk about, we should probably just talk to our guest of the week.
Yeah. I also want to tell the listener that after this chat, I got my local legend status back. So if anyone was listening thinking, oh no, she's lost it, I haven't, I'm back. Wow. So listen to the chat and get excited about that.
All right, this is Ali Bevan, our guest of the week. Guest of the week. Here in the studio, guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete. Could be a physio or a complete unknown. Attempting to break long-distance running records used to be an underground endeavour until the virus-stricken summer of 2020 came along. Only a few, such as the Bob Graham Round in the Lake District, have ever been broken in mainstream consciousness. But an absence of running races resulted in an unprecedented rise in the popularity of the FKT, or fastest known time. In his new book, Broken, Ali Bevan takes an entertaining look at the growing phenomenon, and he's here on the podcast to tell us more. Ali, welcome to the Runner's World podcast.
Hello, thanks for having me.
I've sort of explained it already, but what, if anyone's unfamiliar with the concept, what is meant by an FKT?
It stands for fastest known time, and it's exactly what it sounds like. it's a fairly self-explanatory term. It's an Americanism, and it's relatively recent.
These sorts of endeavors have always been, I mean, you'll absolutely correct me if I'm wrong, but they're quite sort of underground. It's normally ultras. It's kind of big distance stuff on like big, famous old trails. It's that kind of stuff, really, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I suppose in the UK, things like the Pennine Way and the Bob Graham would be the most famous examples.
And why do you think FKTs have really sort of, I mean, caught the public's eye this year? Why runners are sort of taking to them as, you know, as a means to sort of have an achievement for the year, do you think?
They've been growing in popularity for a while. That's probably just in line with the growth in popularity of ultra running, full right. stop. But yeah. You know, you talk to the people at the Bob Graham Club, their membership numbers have been going up year on year for however long. And then this year, yeah, there's nothing else to do, is there? There's no racing. people are restricted in terms of where they can go, so they're looking closer to home. For some people, they've got a whole load of time on their hands because they're off work. They can do loads of training, get into really good shape, and then they need an outlet for it.
We're not talking like, I don't have to go and run the Bob Graham Round. I could just run up and down my street and get a fastest known time for that, right?
I mean, if you wanted to.
But like, you can create your own challenge. It's the beauty of it, isn't?
Yeah, you can. You can, absolutely. And some of these things are going to be more prestigious than others, right? Like,
you say that, but wait till I get the fastest known time in Clapham. Watch out.
Well, it needs to start somewhere, right? Like, you know, first it's you and you never know. Next year, maybe like Bridget Kosgei comes and runs up and down your street.
Once Killian's finished with this 24-hour stuff, you know, he's going to be all over these.
I've heard he's set his sights on Clapham, so I'm ready. Bring it on. But what do you think is the most, there's been loads of them. I've not tried to set a fastest known time yet, but what's the most impressive one you think has come out of this crazy year of people setting their own running challenges?
You know, the whole way through the book, I tried really, really hard not to give an answer to that.
Oh.
different things are impressive for different reasons, right? And the whole FKT's records thing is really, really broad. And so you have people like Beth Pascal breaking the Bob Graham record, where although it's very long, the main thing is athleticism. Beth's a really good athlete. She went out and ran really hard. And you end up with something that's very, very impressive. Whereas something like Land's End to John O'Groats, which is 10 days for Dan Lawson, 12 days for Carlo Molinaro, or to go even further than that, Donny Campbell's Monroe Round, which took a month. It's impressive in a different way. You know, there's just those guys get up morning after morning and just go all day, and I think I struggle to understand that more than I would struggle to understand someone like Beth or Finley Wilde. It's just something that's the thing that makes those guys really good is harder to pin down.
Yeah, it's like something, I guess, like mentally strong, not just like crazy running for weeks and weeks on end.
Yeah, and they're really good athletes as well.
Yeah.
Like that. But I don't quite know what it is that allows them to do that. If you want a much clearer demonstration of it, there's a really good film that came out just this last weekend of Dan Lawson's Land's End to John O'Groats, and some of the shots of him starting running on the last few days are just horrible to watch because he can't do it. He can't run. It takes him a mile to sort of break into that running gait because he's just so sore.
No, it has been hugely impressive. I have a running acquaintance, James Brewster, who set an FKT on the Greensand Way this year. And that was a day, just one day, 44 minutes. So that's, you know, and then you think about that and you're like, man, that's a whole day. Now in my head it's just like, oh yeah, like that is a long time on the feet. And then you bring that up to like Le Jog and things like that, and it's like, this is, you know, these fastest known time things are huge feats of athletic ability and mental rigidity, because you know you're putting yourself through some crazy things.
Yeah, and people like Dan and Donnie, if you were out with them, if you were with them for the duration of their run, you would see dozens of perfectly legitimate reasons to stop.
Yeah.
You know, Donnie had tendonitis from day four of his Monroe round. Dan was just, could barely move. And to persevere through all of that stuff is wild. I can't, I mean, silly as it sounds to say, if it was me, I'd never make it. I'd just give up at the first opportunity.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I would too. I would be all bravado and then I'd just be like, no, this is, I'm done. This is not for me.
Is the pain you saw where the title of the book comes from? Is that the broken, these broken people trying to run?
I can't take credit for the title of the book. I'm afraid someone else came up with that. I was procrastinating for so long that someone else titled it before I did. I mean, it's a slight play on words, isn't it? Broken runners, broken records.
Do you think sort of as the year comes to a close and 2021 comes along and racing will hopefully return in some form, do you think FKTs will remain be slightly under the radar things, or do you think they're just going to sort of like, it's going to grow and grow and grow?
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, there's the question of what racing will look like in the next few years. Like, you wouldn't anticipate 2,000 people lining up in Chamonix to run UTMB. But there are other considerations as well. This is something that Beth Pascal speaks about, which is that she is always drawn to racing because that's where the highest standard is. She wants to test herself against the very best runners. But years like this, when loads and loads of records get broken by loads of really, really good runners, the prestige of those rounds and trails increases. And so the likelihood that they will appeal to the best athletes also increases. So Beth's very open about the fact that she would never usually have made time to do the Bob Graham. This year she was going to run Western States and UTMB because they're the two biggest races in the world. And she would have done that sort of thing pretty much indefinitely. But if you can get that same sort of standard of test, albeit in a different environment closer to home, maybe that's something that people would consider. And there's also the travel aspect. People are increasingly aware of the impact of flying all over the world to go to races. Whereas if you can get on the bus in Penrith and go to Keswick and run the Bob Graham, it's maybe not as bad.
I think maybe the year has allowed more and more people, as you say, like Beth, had time to focus on it. So then you get more athletes having the opportunity to concentrate on these unknown or unchallenged routes, or perhaps a time that they think, oh, I could beat that. And they would never normally consider because they would be racing. So then more and more people do these races and more people do these routes and create fastest known time. And it suddenly becomes, oh, well, if that person has done a fastest known time, then I should definitely try and break it. So the sort of the degree of competition kind of amplifies the importance of these known times, I guess.
Mm. It's quite funny, actually. There's another part to this, which is that because there was no racing, people could put together much longer, more consistent blocks of training. Kim Collison spoke about this. He broke the Lakeland 24-hour record, and he usually races quite a lot. But this year, he wasn't able to, and so he got into the best shape of his life. But then you ask him if the fact that he was able to get so fit this year will mean that in future he races less. He hums and haws for a minute and then he says no.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And I heard the same thing from Joe Meek, from any number of people, and people just love racing, which is something that you're not going to replicate on one of these runs. You're not standing on the start line next to however many other people.
Is there a sort of a round or a trail that has yet to be conquered that you think is going to be the sort of the next sort of like, I don't know, like the King Alfred's Way or something that's, you know...
I do not know what the King Alfred's Way is.
I'm glad you didn't either.
Okay.
Oh, well, so the King Alfred's Way, it's a bike route. It came up on, I can't remember, it was like Bicycling UK or something, have put together like a completely gravel off-road kind of 300, I think it's about 350K loop that sort of goes via Winchester and stuff like that. And so like even this year that popped up and I was just suddenly like, I reckon someone will run that at some point. And there's all these sort of new routes that just sort of like appear, you know, or possibly like lost byways, ancient roads that people have cobbled, you know, that as people explore and they get on the OS map and they kind of go, oh, maybe I'll have a look at that. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, there's this FKT for the Ridgeway, or, you know, it's kind of, do you think that's, you know, there's going to be one, or do you think it'll always be the classics? It will be the rounds that people will always want to do faster.
There have been a few things this year actually that have been around for ages but which have had very little attention. So there's the Dartmoor round, which was first done on New Year's Eve in 1999, and had since then it had four or five completions. And then this year, the number of people who've done it has just tripled. Patrick Devine Wright ran it three times this summer. likewise, the Steve Parr round, which is a round of all the 2,500-foot hills in the Lake District, I think had only been done once. But then this year, I can't remember, five or six people have done it. And so, yeah, there's a sort of spotlight on some forgotten routes or things that have just got a bit dusty over the years. And it's hard to predict what's going to catch on, right? Because when, like, you look at the Bob Graham, when he did that, he was breaking the Lakeland 24-hour record. And there were Lakeland 24-hour records before that. There have been quite a lot of them since. But his is the one that caught on, for whatever reason, whether it's the aesthetics of the route, it's a balance between challenging but achievable for most people, whatever it might be. It's now got thousands of completion, whereas like the record that came after it has probably only been run once, you know, like Alan Heaton's round from the middle of the 50s, no one's ever repeated it. It's hard, yeah, you don't really know what the next big thing is going to be, I suppose.
I quite like the idea that you're putting like a kind of really nice positive, you know, spin on this year where no one's been racing. But I've kind of, you previously said FKTs were the conquest of the useless. What do you mean by that?
That's a phrase that I think comes from a French mountaineer called Lionel Terray, and the title of his autobiography was Conquistadors of the Useless. It's also the title of a Werner Herzog book about dragging a ship between two rivers in the Amazon. I suppose it just attempts to capture this idea that people go to an extraordinary amount of effort, put up with a tremendous amount of suffering, in the case of mountaineering, danger, to do things which have some sort of slippery, intangible spiritual worth, but which practically achieve absolutely nothing. So, you know, Damien Hall floats along the Pennine Way in 2.5 days. It makes a bunch of people feel good, but I don't know, it's not curing any diseases, is it?
Yeah, I guess maybe that's why we've clung to it this year, because we all want something positive, maybe something impressive, like, you know, we've not got any races to watch. Maybe that's why 2020's made everyone get on Strava and work out where to run and go for an FKT.
Oh yeah, it's a great source of diversion, if nothing else. You can watch someone's dot crawling across a map for a few days and forget about everything else.
Dot watching is a serious pastime though. That in itself takes some real commitment. You've got to be, you know, you need your snacks to be on point. You've got to stay hydrated if you're going to do some dot watching. It's very important.
Yeah. I mean, you need to have all the relevant tabs open, right?
Yeah.
You need a list of complete record clips. You need weather forecasts.
Exactly.
Wi-Fi connection. Yeah. it's all to play.
Jane mentioned Strava there, and I feel like sort of people might understand the segments in Strava kind of tie in with an FKT in the same sort of principle, whereas people have marked off bits of road that have become a segment of worth and people race for it. Do you think that sort of plays any role in people looking or certainly understanding and maybe chasing FKTs a bit more? Or do you think that's just a sort of a byproduct of all of this stuff?
It's hard to say, isn't it? Yeah, like a lot of these records predate Strava quite significantly, right? Like, I mean, 24-hour records goes back 150 years. But I suppose it's maybe opens people's eyes to the fact that they can have competition outside competition. Maybe. And like certain, like certain training groups, certain clubs will always have kept, you know, times for their like standard training routes and stuff like that. So it's maybe always been around, but things like Strava make it more accessible, more public.
Yeah. I think that's it. Maybe that's it. Maybe Strava's just sort of rehashed the FKT. Everyone knew about them and they've just, the segments is their version of it.
That's, I think they did the local legend this year too, which I quite liked, because, you know, going back to my street, which I won't name because I don't want people coming at me, but like, I am the local legend on my street. I mean, that is my 2020 achievement. I've not raced.
I feel like that's quite low hanging fruit, isn't it?
It really is, but I've got it.
You are literally the local legend. You live there.
I know, I've got it though. It's mine. No one can take it from me unless they run off and down my street.
Well, Jane, I know where you live, so you better be careful, because
you will have to move in to beat me, because no one can.
That's true. Do you think there's any danger of like FKTs becoming so specific or obscure that they become meaningless? I mean, we've talked about how they're a nice distraction, but they're not really worth a huge amount, should we say, in terms of value. Or do you think that they'll always have a particular place in running?
Some of them will. Yeah. I mean, you look at the proliferation of new things that has happened this year, and there's always going to be some dilution of the worth of the whole lot when that happens. But I suppose cream rises to the top, doesn't it? The most prestigious records will be the most durable and will hold people's attention long after the dross has kind of blown away. So, yeah, things like the Pennine Way and the big rounds and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a luster to them, which is not found on everything.
That's very true, yeah. You've attempted your own FKT-type challenges, including a winter Bob Graham round, in which you accidentally missed a summit, I believe, if you wouldn't mind telling us a bit more on that.
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'd say it was winter.
Right.
It was in December, but it was fairly mild, I suppose. So I just drove down to Keswick on my own. I didn't have any support. I'd been on some of the route before, but most of it was new to me. I didn't have a GPS or any of that sort of stuff. It's one of these things, in hindsight, I can see exactly what my several mistakes.
I mean, you've listed some quite obvious things there.
Yeah.
well, no, but that's it. I missed Sergeant Man.
Yeah.
And I've never been back to go up it, and I maybe don't want to because I'm still in the huff. But that run is still one of the runs that I think has been most valuable to me, and I wouldn't go back and change any of that stuff in order to make it, you know, successful.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I think if I'd had a whole team of pacers who knew the route and I could just follow them around and all that sort of stuff, and that meant that I actually, you know, completed the round.
Yeah.
As opposed to, and I only found out a few days later when I plugged my watch in. I suspected that I hadn't been to the right place, but I didn't know for a while. But I don't know. The self-reliance aspect of it is something that I find very, very rewarding. You know, you're trudging across the fells in the middle of the night. You can't see anything. Mm. It's really cold. And, I get a lot from that. That's probably... Well, it is more important than...
I,
I would say surely the reward in itself is exactly as you say, the you could go out there armed with pacers and with technology and with all sorts of stuff that would enable you to be a bit more accurate. But the whole notion is that it's about a self-endeavor, it's about a challenge, that you are, it's probably the odds are not in your favor to actually complete it. And that's kind of why it's these things are so heralded.
Yeah, and one of the things that you see if you look at the list of all the stuff that's happened this year is that people take different approaches. People have different styles. And you know, like Kim Collison's Winter Bob Graham record, he had pacers and all the rest of it, but he ran like 15 and a half hours. So that's what makes that unbelievably impressive. Whereas if you're going out to do it on your own, you're going to have a very different experience. You're going to get different things from it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, look, Ali, thank you so much for joining us and for chatting through FKTs. It's a part of running that I think is incredibly interesting and possibly a bit more sort of... As a lone runner, I always think that the personal endeavour to do these challenges is kind of where a real source of joy from running can come from, even though I wouldn't do one myself. But I think it's amazing. And your book is out?
You should.
Yeah, well, maybe I should. Maybe I should.
I was writing the book is that it's really elitist.
Yeah.
Because it's all about people breaking records. But, you know, your average club runner can get just as much worth out of something like this as your, you know, semi-professional.
I would do it. All right, there we go. There's 2021 challenge accepted.
Yeah.
Ali, is your book, is it out now, out soon?
I think it's technically out on the 3rd of December, but I believe that pre-ordered copies have already started showing up at people's houses.
Oh, even better. All right, there we go, everyone. It's called Broken. It's about FKTs in 2020, and it's the most perfect Christmas gift I've heard. So there we go.
Get out of lockdown and run to your bookshop is the message we can leave everyone with.
Ali, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, pleasure.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. A big thank you to our guest, Ali Bevan, and of course, you for listening.
Subscribe to Runner's World magazine today to get 3 issues for just £5. Visit hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnersworldpodcast to get this exclusive listener offer. The Runner's World podcast is available on Acast, iTunes, and all of your favourite podcast apps. Search Runner's World UK and subscribe. You can even leave a little comment if you want, just saying, hey guys, really love the podcast. Thanks again for listening. See you next week. Great.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.